Good morning. It is 9 o'clock. It is time for The Plant Rant with Sandra the Plant Lady. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning, Bob. What a beautiful morning it is.
Isn't this something? You remember a little while ago here when we had snow on the ground?
Well, you know, it was so interesting because we had the most amazing fall. Like, this fall was a great weather, gorgeous color.
Yep.
It, you know, we didn't have any where it was too dry and all the leaves blew off, and it was just amazing. And yeah. Then all of a sudden, it came so quick where we had that stretch of cold and snow.
Yep.
And here we are again.
And it disappeared. Yeah, and I guess for the next few days, it's supposed to be pretty nice.
Well, and I heard today, high of 76.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Is that what they just said a second ago?
I think that's what he just said, yeah. And I guess it's supposed to be like that into Monday, maybe. In the upper 60s to low 70s.
Well, I did hear something about Monday, but we don't need to talk about
that. No, let's not talk.
Right.
Let's not talk about unpleasant things.
Yes. But yeah, just an amazing fall. And so I think a lot of people were kind of caught off guard and didn't get quite finished up with their yard work and gardening. And now
they got a chance.
No excuses. We have the perfect opportunity.
Well, you know, I had a news story on today that we haven't seen it here close to us, but in some places not far away, they've had cornfield fires.
Ooh.
And they've had other fires, grass fires and so forth, because it's so dry where they are, because of strong wind and very little rainfall.
Well, then we can talk about Monday. I did hear that it's supposed to rain, I think, Monday. So
let's hope
that we could use that. It is getting kind of dry again. So.
Yeah, it is.
Well,
it
I'm sorry for those folks that are having those experiences.
Yeah. Well, it's bad enough to burn a cornfield when the corn's still on it. But when you get into other things, and so far it hasn't burned any places, you know, homes or other buildings, but just open land, but that's bad enough.
Yes.
Especially with the kind of winds we have occasionally.
Well, and to those folks, the farmers who, you know, I'm sure we're counting on having those crops. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, hopefully people got the chance to go out to Baker Orchard and check out their drive-through and go to Glenna Farms, and we still have the good weather. I know, Glenna Farms, I think they're done with their pumpkin weekends, but they're still open. They're a great place to get, you know, holiday gift packs of cheese and syrup and wine and things. And then the Orchard, I know they finished up, but they had a great year and had a really positive response from folks that were able to come and get their apples. And I know they were offering some good deals and things for stocking up for people who like to bake and do sauce. So hopefully some folks got to take advantage of that.
Well, and the nice thing about it is they figured out a way to make it a good time in spite of everything else.
They did. They figured it out. And it's just been really fun to see just places get creative. And,
it is.
And come up with some positive solutions. So, well, I didn't have any questions this month, but I had some comments. So last month, if you remember, I talked about tent worms and bagworm tent caterpillars and bagworms and these different species that create webs. Well, I had two different comments, and they both of them said, you didn't mention army worms.
Oh.
So Jim and Wally, the reason I did not mention army worms is because army worms do not make webs, which is what I was focusing on, because the previous month, Rocky had gotten a hold of me and had some webbing with the worms, and so I was really just having that focus be on the larva that has those webs. But I did do now since some army worm research. So true army worms, there's no web there.
Okay.
And they can be quite devastating. And they're more of a problem with crops, corn and things like that.
Sure.
But they can completely, and the corn is actually the host plant for them. So.
Sure.
That's part of their natural life cycle. There are some beneficial insects. There's some parasitic wasps and some flies that will actually work against the webworms. And then for farmers, if it's really a problem, there's a spray, a natural bacteria, BT, that they can put on there at certain times to control it. But those armyworms can completely eat something down to nothing, like yeah. overnight.
Whoa,
but I only overlooked them because they didn't have webs. But
I gotcha.
There, and then one thing I was looking back, so when I was doing some research, it sounds like in 2018, Wisconsin was hit really hard with armyworms affecting the cornfields, but it's not consistent. It's not like a thing every single year, so it seems to be kind of sporadic. So just something to watch for. If you start noticing it on the perimeter of your fields, that's when you want to get on it. You'll see it start there first with that defoliating.
Where the heck do those things come from? They don't just materialize, or do they?
Well, and it's a moth. It's a larva for for a moth. And let me find my reference here and see what we... I didn't put a ton of time into these. but yeah, it's a larva for an armyworm moth. So.
Huh. I didn't know that. So they just kind of arrive, and it's sporadic.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's all, you know, seasonal, weather dependent, and how, you know. But yes, if you are really interested, I can do more research before next month. But.
No, that's fine. I just was curious as to, you know, because you hear about things like that, and you always think, well, what did it do? Just materialize?
Right. Well, they overwinter. Where did I just see this now? They overwinter in the soil or litter around roots.
Okay.
And then they resume feeding in the spring.
Oh, jeez.
So and then they pupate, and then you have the moths, and then they lay eggs, and then you get two to three generations per year. And then that June generation usually is the one that does the most damage.
Okay.
So this is where, you know, just looking at things and keeping an eye on things is the key.
Yeah.
So if you can... you know, do things to prevent it or catch it right away. You know, look for the egg masses. You know, they're usually laid in masses along, like, the lower leaves. So if you can, you know, watch for those things and keep an eye on them. And, of course, you know, look for if you see the moths, you know that they're there. So it's just being able to identify.
Yeah.
Identify things. And
well, I know you talked about webs and all that, and the thing that bothers me most is... there's nowhere you can look where you don't see a cobweb somewhere. Good grief. It's incredible. It seems to me it's worse this year. I don't know.
Well, and there again, I mean, all these things, it's, you know, patterns and weather and things that make for better environments some years than other years. And then it's people being able to get out there and do something about it. When you see, but, you know, a lot of the stuff, it's not like it does, you know, it's all... whether we need to do something about it is based on how much damage it's actually...
or how much we just dislike the way it looks.
Causing, you know, and if it's on the side of the road, it doesn't really matter. If it's in your, you know, ornamental tree in your yard, that's
I'll tell you
part
where
of your
really,
seasonal interest throughout the year.
Where the cobwebs really bother me is I'm sitting at my console here doing this equipment run, and up right above it, here's cobwebs, for goodness sake, and we use this room every day.
Well, you were ready for Halloween. That's what I was thinking in my house. Look at this. We've already decorated. We're ready to go.
It's too bad those things are practically invisible except in the right light.
Well, and I don't know if you've seen, like, actual cobweb spider webs or if
I don't know what that is.
You know,
it's
probably dust and things like that, which... never ending.
Well, it could
battle.
Be dust.
We're not
because...
even going to get into housekeeping, okay? It's too nice of a day
to be
inside worrying about cobwebs. And as far as actual spiders go, I think they're great because they are nature's pest control. I mean, I would rather have a spider because then they're going to eat the flies and the other bugs that come in. And they're fun to watch when they get a go after something and spin it up. And it's all perspective.
It is.
But how is your yard doing? You had some hanging baskets. You did some seeding this year.
We got rid of the hanging baskets. Took them down, put them away, put the pots away. We're lazy, so we didn't sweep the lawn or rake the lawn. We just had somebody come in and suck the leaves off.
Okay.
That was nice. I don't know. Somebody told me I should have leave them there from year to year. You know,
if you have a mulching mower that makes them into fine, finer particles, they're good. if you have huge patches of leaves and leave them lay, you know, they're going to shade out the grass. They can get moldy. There's other things. Yep. But if you're mulching, you know, or if you have garden beds, you know, you can rake them toward your beds or, you know, save them in compost. I'm a bigger fan of, say, like a mulching type mower to break the leaves down, because then you're getting that broken plant material broken down, and that's actually going to help feed your lawn. So you're creating a little bit more of a natural environment.
Our lawn needs all the help it can get, because we're surrounded by tall, heavy-leaved trees and pine trees. And so our lawn, that we planted, actually came back pretty good.
Good.
We got quite a bit of the seeding, worked okay, but I think come spring, when you start to see it again, we're probably going to notice patches where we have to reseed.
Well, and that's where, you know, get back to Abrahamson's again, because you did more of a shady mix, is that correct?
Oh, yeah.
Which has a lot of, like, creeping red fescue, which is going to be a nice shade-tolerant grass. And just go and overseed again when you see those little, and it may come in really well. I mean, you might be surprised.
Yeah, you never know. Well, and we didn't seed a lot of it ourselves. So we had some yard work done, because we had to have brush torn out and fences torn out and so forth. And those guys planted back the grass. But they knew that we wanted, because it's all shade.
Right.
It's pretty obvious.
Well, and that's the key, having the right stuff. I mean, that's where it pays to go to a reputable nursery, find a garden center that can help you and answer your questions, and not buy these junky seed mixes, you know, that they sometimes offer at the hardware store.
Oh, yeah.
So if you can find a mix that's high quality and then the right mix for your light requirements. Yeah, I would just go and, you know, you can buy bulk. You don't need to buy it. You can buy it by the pound or whatever, if you don't need a lot, and you can just sprinkle that on in the spring. Actually, you could even do it late winter or late fall here.
Yeah.
You could top dress.
I suppose.
With some seed, and then it sits dormant, and then in the spring when that snow melts and we've got the moisture and it gets warm again, it's there and it's ready to go.
Sure. Now you want me to work.
you can walk around and sprinkle some seed. Good grief.
Okay. I know.
And then this is easier, because when you do it during the summer, you have to water it four times a day. Whereas if you seed prior to winter, Mother Nature pretty much.
Well, I'll tell you, when we did that work in the yard and we had to water once a day for sure.
It's a lot with seeding.
I want to tell you how the water bill doubled.
Wow.
I mean, just because we watered heavily, because we needed to.
Right.
And but on the other hand, it came out okay, so it's worth the investment.
Well, right. I mean, once that yard is established, you know, as long as you don't mow your lawn too short, it's going to take care of itself. And grass can go dormant and come back. So if you're not that fussy about how it looks if we do have a drier year, once you get it established, you'll be fine. Well, speaking of yard work, it is gorgeous out. There is still time to plant. I'm not sure what Dragonfly's hours are, what they have left. I know Abrahamson's is done, except for St. Croix Falls is open, you know, because they do all the seasonal, you know, the holiday trees and decorating.
Sure.
But if you have things that you purchased that you haven't gotten in the ground yet, you can still get out there and plant. If you wind up having things that haven't gotten planted, right now, when we can still work in the soil, if you've got an area where maybe you normally do annuals or a vegetable garden that you're not using right now because we're at that time of the year, you can dig holes and sink those pots right in the ground, and they'll overwinter great. Once it freezes, you can cover them up with some mulch. And then in the spring, you can lift those up, and they'll be ready to go for planting in the spring. It's a great time right now to get out and prep soil. If there's some areas where you're thinking you might want a garden for next year, but you don't have the plants, it's a good time. You can get your soil amendments or get that grass dug out. I'm looking at my beds. I need to get out there and edge everything again and get that creeping Charlie and stuff pulled back. So, I mean, there's still lots of things we can do. If you like to save seeds, get out and get your seeds from your purple coneflowers and different plants that have the nice seed heads. I always like to leave that stuff for the birds, but some people like to collect their own. You want to just get them and dry them. And then it works great just to put them in envelopes and label them. And then you can have seeds to share with your friends, or if you have a natural area where you want to spread things out, it's a perfect time for collecting seeds. And just all these things so we can get outside and do something because it's so nice. Oh, the other thing with digging holes, I mentioned the for overwintering pots. If you think that you're interested in getting a live Christmas tree, you can dig a hole for that now. So, you know, you'd have your tree. It's best to leave it outside as long as possible. Bring it in for those few weeks during Christmas. Water it while it's inside, and then you have that hole outside so you can bring it. And even if you don't plant it, sink that pot in so it's insulated. What happens in the winter, we want to protect those containers from heating and cooling, temperature fluctuations.
Sure.
And same with mulch in your gardens. You're trying to keep them frozen. So it's best if you're doing a heavier layer of mulch to do that once the ground is frozen. And then, of course, snow is the best insulator.
Yeah.
And then.
And the cheapest.
And the easiest. And then get out there and mulch after things are frozen. But so get that hole dug now if you think you're going to do a live Christmas tree, and then you're ready, ready for that. So.
Well, there's a lot of things you can do in the fall, even though we're coming on to that other thing.
Well, and there's some things that you want to do right now, like evergreens, your pine trees, your junipers, your arborvitaes, rhododendrons, anything, you know, boxwood, anything that doesn't lose its leaves, it's time to water those things. They need as much moisture as they can going into winter. So get and our trees and shrubs, too, any new plantings that you've done this year, you're going to want to get out there. It's been dry. Now, if we get that rain on Monday, that'll help.
Yeah.
But now we've had all this heat. We had that little bit of snow, so there was a little bit of moisture there. But watering the evergreens this time of year. And, of course, getting ready to put your lawnmower away. You're going to want to run the gas out of that or drain the gas.
Yeah.
If you sharpen your own blades, it's a good time to do that now, and then it's ready in the spring. It's time to get the repellents put on, deer repellents, critter repellent if you need to fence anything off or get things sprayed. Now's the time to start doing that, and especially with like spraying liquids for like the deer sprays, because it's so nice out, you're not going to have to worry about your nozzle freezing up or and that's another thing, get your products brought inside. If you've been storing sprays and things like that in the garage, it's a good time now to get those in. Keep everything in its original package. You never want to move a pesticide into a different container.
Oh, for sure.
And keep those things safe. Get them brought inside. Get them in your basement or a locked cabinet or somewhere where you can keep them and store them for the winter.
Yeah, and don't forget to pick up the hoses. Blow the
water
out
drain,
and get them inside.
It's going to be time to drain and empty the hose and then get that, your valve turned off from the inside of your house for the the winter time. Although, and you know, we've done this already, and now we're using the hose again. So it's like, just don't put it away quite yet. But
it's really crazy.
You need to do it.
It's so crazy because I went out and put the cover when it snowed and all that stuff. I went out and put the cover on the air conditioner at the transmitter. Well, now it got like this. Now I wish I could run the air conditioner all time.
Right.
But I'm not taking it off. It's just going to stay the way it is. But.
Well, and it's hard to know, isn't it?
Oh, it is. How are you going to tell? And it's no fun when the snow starts to fall or it's nasty rain or whatever. It's no fun to go out in that and then put the cover on it.
No.
So that's the way life works.
Well, and some more things that, you know, folks can get out and do is plan ahead for spring and get out and plant some spring bulbs. And you can do bulbs in pots. You can do bulbs in pots to do inside, which is always kind of fun, or get them out, and then you have something to look forward to in the spring.
So if you're going to put stuff in pots to have them inside over winter to get ready for spring, you're going to have to water them. They got to be in a place where they can drain, right?
Yeah, you'll take care of them. You'll put them in a pot, a saucer and a pot. And there's certain things like the paper whites and the amaryllis that you can buy that are ready to plant and bloom during the winter in your house, which is really fun to have things Some of the bulbs, if you wanted to do, you know, hyacinth and tulips and things, some of those things do need a cold treatment, which you can give them, you know, artificially. So you just, whichever thing that you buy, you're going to want to look at whatever their requirements are, if they're ready to go or not. Other things to really keep an eye on right now is anything that had a disease or anything that you noticed during the summer, remove that and destroy it. You don't want to leave things up in the garden that had, you know, any foliage, you know, fungal diseases or insect things. You want to get those things out of there. With your rose bushes, really only trim those enough to cover them. It's best to trim those in the spring and just see what's died off. And again, it's early now, so you're going to really want to wait till things are a little bit cooler. Good time to get out and wrap your trees, your maple trees, apple trees, anything that has thin bark that either, well, the apple trees, the critters love to nibble on those.
Yeah.
And then the maple trees and the thin bark trees are susceptible to sun scald and frost crack and things that happen when that bark warms up.
Oh, yeah.
And so good time to get out there. And then the main thing with these tree wraps and tree guards, take them off in the spring. You do not want to leave those things on year-round. As a matter of fact, some horticulturists are now recommending not using tree wraps and tree guards at all.
Oh.
I'm still a fan of them as long as you're only using them seasonally. It is important to protect that thin bark, because if year after year it splits every winter, eventually you're going to have a problem from that. And if the critters are chewing on things. And, and again, you can always use a little bit of fencing too out around things that you know the mice like. Get that, you know, get the small gauge wire and get it a little bit smaller.
Yeah.
Or deeper into the ground around it, for so things that are burrowing can't.
Well, I was told once, I put up a small storage shed, and it was sitting on beams, and I was told when you rodent proof it, get like 2 foot of the mesh, and put it in the ground 6 or so inches, and then out flat a ways, so that when they dig down away from it, they still can't get through it.
No, it's true. And like with, you know, talking about planting the bulbs, a lot of folks will do that. They will make like a wire cage in the soil for the bulb, because squirrels and things like to go in and dig the bulb out. So it's not even just protecting, say, the tulip from the deer and the rabbits from the flower itself, but it's protecting that bulb from critters digging it up. You know, one of the great bulbs to plant for us in our area, being more rural, is daffodils, because things tend to leave those alone. They don't tend to get eaten. The flowers don't tend to get eaten. They seem to leave the bulbs alone, too, for the most part.
Huh. Well, they don't taste good?
Apparently not. I haven't tried them myself.
Me neither.
But there's certain things that the critters like, you know, more than others. Tulips seem to be one of them, the flowers especially. And then I've done a few creative things in the spring with tulips, you know, get some cheap bird cages at thrift store or garage sales and take the bottoms out, and you can put those over them to protect, you know, when they're going to bloom and things like that. So,
wow. There's a lot of things to get ready for.
Yeah, so enjoy this beautiful weather.
Now's the time.
While it's nice, and get out. I'm actually going to help a friend today in her yard. She's got some transplanting and things that she wants to get done. They had put in a new nice paver sidewalk, and so kind of redesigning the garden based on that new addition to their yard. And so I've been helping a little bit with that, doing some transplanting and dividing of things. And so it's lots to, you know what, and if you don't want to do anything, just go sit outside, grab your favorite book and a cup of tea or some coffee or a glass of wine, and just go enjoy the day, because it's really nice out there.
Yeah, you shouldn't have put away your lawn chair yet.
No, oh no, those have to stay out all year long. Yeah.
Well, at least if they're on the porch or in the garage, you can take them out when it's a day like this, because this would be great outside.
Anthony and I spent part of yesterday, you know, we've been doing the virtual learning, so you wind up with a lot of screen time and a lot of inside. So we spent the whole first half of the day yesterday in the hammock, and he was practicing his reading. So he brought a whole tote of books outside and read to me. So it was quite, there was a few distractions, you know, some birds and, of course, the chickens wandering around and things like that. But for the most part, he stayed pretty focused. So
if you're outside, there are going to be distractions, or there should be.
Well, and there's distractions inside, too. So it
you
know. Well, so I did have some other feedback. So last month started for the first time on Plant Rant, the Latin for gardeners.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We start now, Bob, it'll be okay.
Okay.
So I did have three yays. I had feedback from three different people who said they really enjoyed it and liked it and found it interesting and helpful.
Okay.
I had one feedback from Dawn who said she didn't dislike it, but she didn't like it. Like, it didn't do a whole lot for her. So, folks, if you're waiting for the 9:30 program and you need to use the restroom and you're not into your Lant lesson, now's the time to go. For those of you who are interested, well, and first I want to read another section of the preface of the book. So the book I'm getting my information from is called Latin for Gardeners.
Okay.
And it's over 3,000 plant names explained
Whoa.
And explored, and it's by Lorraine Harrison. And so last time, if you remember, I read a little bit, she had quoted some Shakespeare about what's in a name.
Yeah.
And now I'm going to just read a little more of this because I think it's rather entertaining. So it is easy to understand why many of us fall for the poetry and charm of common names. Who can resist the romance of flowers with names like Love Lies Bleeding, Forget Me Not, or Love in a Mist? Although these pretty names can lead the gardener up the proverbial garden path, as, for instance, the latter beauty also answers to the name Devil in the Bush.
Ooh.
And after all these florid appellations are so much easier to remember and certainly to pronounce than Amaranthus caudatus, Myostis sylvatica, and Nigella damascena. However poetic-sounding common names may be, they often tell us nothing about the origin of a plant or important things like its form, color, and size. When selecting plants, it is useful to know that those with repens in their name are low-growing or creeping, unlike those called columnaris, which shoot up tall. Think of the frustration avoided when planting a sunny bed if only one knew beforehand that noctiflorus flowers only open at night. And yet, what helpful information to have if planning a garden primarily to be used in the evening.
Okay.
So, and I will just go through a few from the A's here today. And again, these are description names. So we have acerifolius, which means with leaves like a maple.
Oh.
So there's Quercus acerifolia, which Quercus is the genus for oak. And then that acerifolia would mean so it's an oak tree, but it has trees like a maple leaf.
Huh.
So these are clues for things. There's acerosus, which means like a needle. So that is going to be a plant that's going to have more of a needle-like leaf. And there's a few of those. There's abies, which means like a fir tree, because fir trees are abies. But then there's some spruce that have needles like a fir tree. So it's, and there's, one, there's Achitocella, which means slightly sour leaves. So there's those, some of those little plants, like what is that? That wood sorrel where you can chew on it, the leaf, and it's a little bit lemony.
Okay.
And then Achilleifolius, which means with leaves like common yarrow, which is Achillea is the genus for that. And then that one, actually, Achillea millifolium, which means, so the yarrow has these little teeny tiny leaves, hence the millifolia means small. So there's all these little clues. Here's another needle one. So acicularis, they're not always easy to say, acicularis, but there's no native Latin speakers, so just say it however you want. But that means shaped like a needle.
Gotcha.
So there's some that means in the shape of a curved sword. So that one's acinaeus. So these Latin names give us clues, and my main argument, aside from their entertaining value, is that when you use a scientific name, you're only referring to to one specific plant.
Gotcha.
Whereas when you use a common name, there can be many, many different plants with the same common name. Well, I want to thank everyone who tuned in today. Any plant questions, comments, feedback, I'm willing to be open to people who do or don't like the Latin lesson. comments like you didn't talk about army worms, any of that stuff, I'm happy to hear. And then that's plantrant93.1@gmail.com or call Luann. She will get you connected with me or send a postcard or a letter to the station. And otherwise, just send me an email. But I thank everyone for tuning in, and we'll look forward to
Next time.
See how creative I can get during the winter months coming up here.
and I won't even hold the Latin lessons against you.
I appreciate it. Well, so I've had two negative feedbacks, one from Bob, one from Dawn, but I still have more in the yays than the nays. So
it'll continue.
I believe in democracy. So
there you go.
Go with the power of the vote. So.
Exactly. Thanks a lot, Sandra.
You're welcome, Bob. Thank you. Enjoy the day.
Stay healthy.
I will. You as well.
Sandra the Plant Lady, our guest on the Plant Rant this morning.